God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text is coming from our gospel reading with the title, One Thing is Necessary. I knew of someone who lost everything in a house fire, and I thought the event would have been very devastating for her, but she said that since no one was hurt, it was actually one of the best things that had ever happened to her. She told me it was a wonderful time for her to refocus away from the junk, the stuff, the things, the clutter of her life, and to refocus toward Christ. In our text for today, we have a refocusing that also needs to take place. The one thing that is necessary, Jesus names, Mary is doing. She is listening to our Lord's words, sort of soaking it in, absorbing it, being connected to Christ. Whereas Martha, in our text, was struggling with some of the things that were around her. And who wouldn't be struggling, to be fair, to Martha? What would happen if our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God who takes on flesh and blood, was to take up residence in your house? I will admit, in my house, I'd probably want to do a little bit of cleaning, put away the toys, get things in ready, and then when the guests arrive, to be the perfect host. To be fair, that's exactly what Martha was doing, and there's nothing wrong with that. The preparations were probably extremely distracting for Martha. But the interesting point is that when her frustrations occur, she cries out to Jesus, "Don't you care?" Talk about manipulation. Didn't she realize who she was talking to? Her Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The God who created her. The God who gave her life. The God who gave her all the blessings of the stuff and things around. Yes, she has a God who cares for her. Why would she even ask? In the midst of her frustration, however, she was solely focused on one thing. The preparations. And yes, there were preparations to be done, things that had to be taken care of. But what Martha is really saying to her Savior is that, Savior, if you really care for me, then tell my sister to help me. There's a need. Now, to be fair, there was a need for the preparations. If you host any party, you will know that, yes, there are preparations to be made. And the host and hostess are extremely busy during this time. But what about the manipulation here? And that's what I want to focus on today. Does the Lord care for Martha? The answer is yes. Does the Lord care for the preparations? Again, the answer is yes. The Lord does care. So why is Martha holding her relationship, so to speak, between herself and her Savior hostage? By using these words, Lord, don't you care? Yes, our Lord does care. The Savior of the world, Jesus the Christ, does care. But how many of us have ever done anything similar? In our prayers and our petitions to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, how many times have we just sort of held up our hands and said, okay, Lord, don't you realize that I'm in great pain and agony and I'm in a lot of frustration around here? If you really cared, you would help me out. Right here, right now. And how would we fill in that or? What threat would we give to our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ? Unfortunately, I have seen people give the threat of a broken relationship. Lord, give me $1,000 right here, right now, and if it's not here on this pulpit within 10 seconds, I'm going to turn my back on you. How ridiculous. Can we sit there and take the manipulation of that beautiful relationship that God has given to us and hold it hostage against Him? But very often in our spiritual lives, we do. Pay attention to our prayers. How do we approach our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And what happens when things don't go our way? In the confirmation vows in the Lutheran service book on page 273, the vow is asked, "Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully?" The response, of course, is yes, with the help of God. But please notice that to that question, we didn't add another condition, did we? Did we intend to be faithful to hear God's word and receive the sacrament as long as our lives are comfortable? As long as our wishes and desires in life are met? No, this is an unconditional promise. And it's based for a particular reason. Because of the unconditional love that our Savior has given to us. It is because of His great love for us. The one thing that is necessary He has given to us, we now say, yes, I will hear God's word regularly. Yes, I will receive the sacrament of Christ's body and blood regularly. Because to do so reattaches me to my Savior who does care. My Savior who does love us. Our Savior who demonstrates His love for us in this, as St. Paul notes in Romans 5, verse 8, God shows His love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Talk about care. Talk about love. Even in the midst of all rebellion, God says, I do care. I do love. Even though we don't deserve it, God still gives it to us. And this gift of God is freely given to us. How dare us take this gift and hold it hostage? By turning our backs upon the one who loves us so freely, by turning our back upon His word and His sacrament to strengthen us in this relationship. It doesn't seem to make sense until we start listening to our human nature and get caught up in all the things of this world. Needless to say, Jesus, who knows our hearts and minds, still loves us. He doesn't fall for the trap that Martha lays out for Him. Instead, He directs Martha to the truth. Also notice that our Savior doesn't chastise Martha either, even though Martha indirectly sort of chastises Jesus. Jesus shows a great deal of love for Martha and redirects her to the one thing that is necessary. Martin Luther notes for us very clearly what this one thing necessary is all about. He writes, "For if I hear this article, that Christ is the one true God and none other, then I have hit upon the one thing needful," or necessary, using the words of our text. The one thing necessary is Christ in Him alone. So we need to separate here something very important. We may remember from our catechizing in Luther's Small Catechism, the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, which we'll be praying in the fourth in a little bit. "Give us this day our daily bread." And Martin Luther explains it this way: God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. Please note how Martin Luther describes this: to receive daily bread with thanksgiving. To be thankful, not to take the blessings, and above all, the most important blessing of the relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to hold it hostage. Instead, we need to thank God for all the blessings. And we have to realize that if certain blessings fall upon us, great and wonderful. But if certain blessings don't fall upon us, that you still have the most important blessing, the blessing of eternal life. But do we live our lives as if our wants and desires in this earthly life are more important than eternal life? And that's the question that we need to ask ourselves. What is the one thing that is necessary? Yes, daily bread is a gift of God, but it should not interfere with the one thing necessary: our faith and trust in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because when the things of this world interfere with our relationship with God, the first commandment gets kicked into place. You shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We are to fear, love, and trust in God above all things, even if all our possessions are destroyed by fire. God's gift of faith cannot be destroyed by fire. Luther sort of sums it up this way, and the sum of the matter is, let everything be done so that the Word of God may have free course among us. Basically, everything else in life can be spared. Because if we lose that relationship with our loving Savior, Jesus Christ, if we lose that Word, if we lose Christ Himself, then all that we have is really for nothing. Luther says, everything else must pass away, no matter how much care or trouble it may be. And then he closes it, God help us to achieve this. You see, Martha was redirected to something that her sister Mary was doing, to be attentive and listening to God's Word. And there's something special about that Word. It's more than just a nice encouraging message. It is a message of freedom. It is a message of joy. It's a message of life. But too often in our world, as we see many books in print, as we read many newspapers, and some of it we may agree with and some of it we may disagree with, we lose sight of the importance of God's Word and we treat it like any other word. But it is different. Our text today gives us a little bit of a nuance on why it is different. But I will admit, in order to appreciate this nuance, you're going to have to learn a couple Greek words, just one in particular. The Greek word for word is logos. What's so special about that word? Well, in John chapter 1, verse 14, Jesus is described as that word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, the glory of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. So that Word of God takes on flesh is Jesus the Christ. That Word of God is also the Bible, God's Word given to us. And there's a special relationship here. The Bible, of course, is something in print, but the Word, the message in that Bible, is Christ. So as we are connected to Christ and His Word, the two are somewhat interchangeable. Now, let's get back to our text. The Greek word that Jesus uses of Mary, saying that she has chosen, the word chosen is actually based upon the Greek word logos, the word for word. So you have, in one essence, sort of a one-word sermon. Mary has chosen the Word of God, the Word that gives her life. Now, some of you may be saying in the back of your mind, okay, Pastor, one-word sermons, we like this. Well, the sermon has to be unpacked for us truly to understand it. Continuing on with our text, Mary was chosen by God when God came upon her through that Word, that powerful Word. That Word, when it's connected with water, has the sacrament of holy baptism. That Word, when it's attached to bread and wine, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The same Word, the Word of Christ among us. So we say with that bread and wine, you are receiving the very body and blood of Christ. Talk about power in that Word. And the purpose of that Word is none other than to keep us in a relationship with Christ. To remind us who Christ is, the forgiveness of sins that He gives to us, and the eternal life that He alone brings. So we gather today, and we call this the divine service. When we come and gather to receive the blessings that come to us through God's Word, not only His Word being read, not only His Word being proclaimed, but also in His Word as we use the liturgy, You see, too often people may ask, you know, what's so important about the liturgy? The liturgy is very important. As it reminds us, and it is, God's Word. As we come and we gather here on Sunday morning, we take what God has given to us, His pure Word, and we give it back to Him in a very appropriate way. Needless to say, during my one course I took this last summer, I ran across a very interesting quote about the liturgy. It is described this way: the liturgy is the home of Scripture, not its stepchild. These words were spoken by Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh understood that the liturgy connects us with God's Word. The liturgy is not man's word. A liturgy that is based upon what Jesus Christ has done for us. A liturgy that's more than just sitting there, but it is a listening, an involvement to the Word that brings life. The one thing that is necessary. Thus we hear Christ telling Martha in our gospel reading for today, there's just one thing that is necessary, and Mary has chosen that good portion. Now, to be fair, Jesus wasn't chastising Mary to be concerned about making sure all the preparations are at hand. He says to Mary, yes, she's anxious about many things, and she's busy, and it's fine to be busy. It's fine to be having a good job. It's fine to be taking care of the house and home, to be a servant, to even being a pastor, but that's not the goal of life. The goal of life is what Mary has chosen, the one thing that is necessary. So this day, we realize that we come and we gather to receive what God has already given to us, the one thing that is necessary. Yes, Martha was concerned about many things she thought to be important, but we have to realize that God is trying to connect with us. And even though there's a lot of things and stuff in this world, our jobs, our family, our community, and God asks us to be good at our jobs, to be caring family members, to be concerned members of the community, but not to replace the one thing that is necessary. Martha, later on in Scripture, shows that this one moment in our gospel text was just a momentary lapse that we all have. Because after her brother Lazarus dies, Jesus comes, and she greets Jesus on the road before he gets to her house. John chapter 11, beginning with verse 21, picks up the scenario. Martha says to Jesus, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Martha understood the one thing necessary. So this day, we give our great praise and thanks to God, as He has given us the one thing that is necessary: His unconditional love, His unconditional forgiveness, not to be abused or manipulated, but freely received from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In His name, Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.